This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. And this is another follow-up to the last week's episode, which was a follow-up to the previous week's. As these ideas come to me during the week, I did not plan this whole series. And it's the non-visible spectrum and other sensory experiences. Because after talking about the spectrum, and even though I'm no scientist, I remembered that there is a invisible spectrum, which if you look at the chart, the visible light in the well-known rainbow colors is a small portion compared kind of in the center, with on one side gamma rays, x-rays, and ultraviolet, and on the other infrared, microwaves, and radio waves. So this made me think that there is much that we don't see, and yet it affects us every day. If you listen to the radio, you're not going to see the radio waves. If you cook your food, you're not going to see the microwaves. If you put on your sunglasses, you're not going to see the ultraviolet rays. But this made me think of, in an extended metaphor kind of way, all the information and awareness that we don't see, and yet much of the world and much of humanity is ruled by the minimal amount that can be seen, either through the media, the mass media, the corporate media, the educational system, the religious programming, governmental mandates and such like. These are all kind of in the quote visible spectrum, and there's a certain amount of information that we accept as what is normal and typical, and that anything outside of that little, what people say, outside the box, but outside that little color coding. You remember when the war of terror started, we got color coding to tell us how awful it was or could be. And so we're kind of governed, or we allow ourselves to be governed by that, so that anything outside of that tends to take on question somebody's paradigm or parameters. And oftentimes people are skeptical or don't trust the information or just do not want to see. Or they might say, wow, that's, you know, I had a dream about this and that, and then it happened. Like, oh my God, that's amazing or unbelievable. But they don't necessarily want to explore why that happens or how that happens. So I could give more examples, but I think, and I will, but I think that the gist of what I want to say is, I think that it's a bold statement to say, I think that humanity, when I look at what's going on in the world and I see the same kind of things being repeated, the same issues, the same problems, more protests, more petition signing that occasionally does something, but in general, I see masses of people putting all their energy into those things. And where are the results? I don't see as much results as I want to see. So maybe that's just me. But I'm talking about deeper systemic change rather than just, you know, a victory here, a victory there. Not to diminish those, but I just think there's a deeper systemic change that needs to happen, and that those answers are outside the visible spectrum, or outside the metaphor of the visible spectrum. Some of that is what I would call information that oftentimes comes to me. I would call it like a spiritual download, and that too is balanced by what I have learned to call a kind of upload from Earth, which I've heard Teokasin Ghost Horse on First Voices Radio speak of that from a native perspective, that it's time for people to upload the energy and the vibes and the messages coming from the Earth, instead of being in our heads and abstract knowledge, that the Earth is putting out direct signals and messages. Which, when there was that tsunami in Indonesia, I think it was back in 2000, maybe it was 5 or 6, I forget the exact year, and the animals and the indigenous people of the area could read the signs, and they went to higher ground and they avoided the disasters that happened to others from the tsunami. So there's the upload, Earth upload connection. Then again, another, I'm giving some examples of what I considered the non-visible spectrum, what have what is sometimes referred to as astral colleges, astral dreams time. You can dream, you can go to school in your dreams and learn stuff. Scientists have had that experience, and many people wake up with an answer in their from their dreams, or from meditations, or from waking visions. Then again, the other senses, people can have intuitions, or they have a gut feeling, or they just something, you know, when something seems suspicious, we say it reeks. Or you can hear, sometimes I have hear, you know, you can hear little noises from, you know, decades of meditating. It has enhanced my hearing. So, or just even, you know, telepathically or psychically, sometimes you can hear. I've been out in the woods and heard somebody's voice and, you know, then contacted them. It's like those things can happen. And touch, I don't know. Touch, you can, I have felt energies literally touch me. I've had what I would call a spiritual energy literally move me from my desk chair. Like, I was so concentrated on the computer screen, and all of a sudden this energy just, I like jolted back and had to get up out of my chair. And the message I got from that was that I was getting lost into the computer screen. My consciousness was getting lost into the computer screen. So I have to stay centered and grounded with my energy when I'm at the computer. Otherwise, I get concerned that some unseen energy could literally toss me out of my chair, and I'm not joking. So those are my examples of the invisible spectrum. And then to mention, you know, this more of the science-y thing, is a quote from a website, ThoughtCo. Some animals have a different visible range, often extending into the infrared range or ultraviolet. For example, bees can see ultraviolet light, which is used by flowers to attract pollinators. Birds can also see ultraviolet light and have markings that are visible under a black ultraviolet light. Among humans, there is variation between how far into red and violet the eye can see. Most animals that can see ultraviolet can't see infrared. So a lot of times we have no, as humans, we might have no clue as to how the bee knows where to go, or how the bird finds the same yard every year, flying thousands of miles to pinpoint the same backyard. But along with the stars, there are other ways of seeing. So we have this storehouse of ability, and I think of the wonderful mystic Persian poet Rumi. One of his quotes, a translation, "I am so small that I can barely be seen. How can this great love be inside me? Look at your eyes. They are small, but they see enormous things. I am so small, I can barely be seen. How can this great love be inside me? Look at your eyes. They are small, but they see enormous things." Have you ever seen, you know, those photos of a bead of dew on a flower or a plant, and inside the bead of dew, you see the reflection of the whole trees and yard and such like. So this is examples of that the big picture can be seen in the little picture. And that we can tune in to these other than the immediate, you know, don't believe everything that you see. And much of the world is a spectacle and a veneer and advertising. And it's all a charade. And the corporate media pumps out information and stuff that's to pull the wool over our eyes. So looking with different eyes and using all our senses is a big thing. And I've quoted it before, but over the centuries that has been, again, the powers that do too much, they have squelched and eliminated the sacred and esoteric knowledges. They have dumbed down humanity. And a couple of examples from the 16th century, the Mayan codices of the Yucatan. Bishop de Landa, a Franciscan monk and conquistador during the Spanish conquest of Yucatan, wrote, "We found a large number of books in these characters, and as they contained nothing in which were not to be seen as superstition and lies, we burned them all, which they, the Maya, regretted to an amazing degree, and which caused them much affliction." So there's an ancient storehouse of knowledge that could help not only the Mayan, but all people, and there it went. So we're, as a species, we're trying to regain our awareness. or some people are, some already have it. 1193 AD, Nalanda University Complex, the most renowned repository of Buddhist knowledge in the world at the time, was sacked by Turkic Muslim invaders under the perpetrator. This event is seen as a milestone in the decline of Buddhism in India. Now, you've seen those books, you know, Buddhism for Dummies. Well, maybe that helps you learn about Buddhism, but also in the big picture, much of what we see and read and learn is for dummies, because it is from the narrow band of color of the spectrum, and it's bright and shiny and it's colorful, and we think it's the full spectrum, but it is not the full spectrum. So there's many ways that we can tune in informationally to what is more than meets the eye, as the expression goes. So thanks for meeting here auditorially and listening. Be well.